You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
Signing on here from Bogota, Colombia, it's me, your host, Richard McCall, here 2,600 meters close to the stars, and it's the glorious return of Columbia Calling to the airwaves. Thank you, Overseas Radio Network, and thank you, Escape Artists, for making this possible. I apologize to the listeners out there for the few weeks of downtime that we've had, but Columbia Calling is moving on, moving up to greater things. We will continue to broadcast interviews on a weekly basis with interesting people making it happen, doing interesting things, and of course with some sort of interest in Colombia. So we will be doing that from here on a weekly basis. We've got three interviews in the works for you out there, so just a quick heads up. We've got Karen Atman today, flavorsofbogota.com, very interesting interview coming up just now after this segment. Next week we'll be talking to David Miller of the Matador Network. If you are a traveler, or if you're familiar with Matador U, the Matador Network is the largest it's independent travel and sort of media outlet of its nature there and out in the world. So we've very special guest Matador, David Miller, from his cabin in North Carolina, I believe that's where we'll be talking. And then after that, we're hoping to get Tom Feeling, the author of Short Walks from Bogota, the Candy Machine, which is about the cocaine trade, and also currently putting the finishing touches to a book about Old Providence, or Providencia, one of the islands belonging to Colombia that's off the coast of Nicaragua. So we'll be discussing that as well in a couple of weeks' time. So stay tuned. Of course, we love to hear from you out there. I've been getting great emails from people asking about how to get into English teaching here in Colombia. I've had emails about where to travel. It seemed to be the first stop for people considering coming to Colombia, and of course that's incredibly flattering. So yes, bigger and better things always for Columbia Calling here on the Overseas Radio Network with Escape Artist. Of course, I've souped up the website as well. That's www.columbiacallingradio.com. Take a look. Let us know what you see. And the artwork. We've done some work on that too. The artwork for the podcast. The new sort of logo. So let me know. Let me know what you had. In Bogota, beautiful weather has started again. Blazing sunshine after so many days of drizzle. Blazing sunshine. And this last Sunday we had the Media Maratón de Bogotá, so the Bogotá Half Marathon, blocking off roads and keeping the carnival spirit here in this Colombian capital city. And of course, the big news, of course, the Tour de France finished, and Colombia really cementing its place as a cycling nation and a nation to watch in future events of cycling. Of course, Nairo Quintana, the 25-year-old Colombian from Combita Boyaca, so the master of the mountain, the man who can, you know, really put together sustained attacks on mountainous routes, especially in the Tour de France, and this is where he's making his name. Had he been more, let's say, in tune for the lower levels, he may have actually got Colombia their title in this Tour de France, but no, it was for Chris Froome of Great Britain to take. Anyway, without further ado, we will be taking a short break here and returning with Karen Atman here in the studio to talk about her website, Flavors of Bogota, and of course some interesting happenings to Karen and her husband, who live for a very great number of years in Venezuela. And of course, Venezuela, our sister nation here to Colombia, whatever goes on in Venezuela affects us directly. So of course we do digress into topics about Venezuela, especially when there are of importance to Columbia. So this is me, Richard McCall, signing off a new show, The Glorious Return of Columbia Calling, to the airwaves. Please enjoy the show. Please spread the word. Get out there on Twitter. We are at Columbia Calling. Get onto our Facebook page where we post all sorts of things about Columbia. That's the Facebook Columbia Calling. And yes, and we'll try and keep you informed. We'll try and go beyond what's in the mainstream press about Columbia and keep the news not only positive, but also the real news. What's going on? Let's get behind it. This Thursday coming, I have been interviewed for The World Weekly, a new magazine by a young fellow interested in the Colombian peace process. So I will be posting that up, and you will get to read my opinions of what's going on in the peace dialogues between the FARC and the Colombian government out there in Havana. So that's that. We're going to take a short break and come right back with Karen Atman. Don't go away.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're in Bogota, Colombia, the capital city, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. The so-called Athens of South America because of the well-educated citizenry found herein. And this week's special guest is a food writer, expert in all things Latin America, really, from Philadelphia, Karen Atman. Welcome on the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Certainly, it's nice to add a little bit to the wonderful interviews that you've been doing with expats all over Colombia.
Thank you so much. We've had people as far adrift from Iowa call in, so this is great. And no, I had a few emails in the last couple of weeks from Holland and Germany saying, you know, applauding the show, which is sort of based on travel and food. So the fact that you are based kind of on food is going to be a good thing. We're going to haul in the listeners this time. But Karen, tell me a little bit. You're from Philadelphia. How did you end up? Because I know you spent more than 20 years in Latin America. How did you end up in this part of the world?
Well, I originally moved to Venezuela about 19 years ago to participate in a volunteer work, Bible educational work. And so I moved to Venezuela, and my work took me all over the country. It was a pretty wild time, actually. While I was there, I met my husband-to-be, and he was a man from Bogotano. And we stayed in Venezuela after we got married, and our work took us from large cities around the country to small towns to little villages in the jungle. We did a little bit of everything, including some jail time.
I think this is something we're gonna stop on, right? We'll definitely discuss jail time in Venezuela, because it sounds like an episode of Banged Up Abroad, you know, on Discovery or National Geographic. But were you based in Caracas and then traveled around, or did you actually base yourself all over the country?
Oh, we lived all over. Mostly we lived in the Andes Mountains because I love the mountains. My husband does too. And so we spent about half our time in the mountains. But from there, we would travel around to a lot of these small towns. We did live in Caracas at the end of our time there. That was even more wild than anything else that I went through in the rest of the country. And we lived far east. We lived in Puerto Ordaz. And from there, we explored the whole area going down towards Brazil. Because that's almost on the border with Guyana. And so from there, we went down towards Brazil, jungle, beautiful area, beautiful area.
Yeah.
And so we lived from the far east to the far west of the country.
Incredible. I mean, to really know a country, isn't it? And so you went into a sort of disputed territory down there with the Guyana, where it's shaded in red, on the Venezuelan map.
I don't think anybody living there really understands the shading. So it's just something that, that's just a governmental thing, but it is a beautiful area where people really don't respect those borders, because we're talking about a lot of Indian populations that maybe they were born in Guyana, floated on over to Venezuela or floated down to Brazil. They couldn't really care less.
I would say sort of nomadic colonos and indigenous people. I mean, how can you delineate a border in such an area. Yeah. It sounds to me to be impossible. But it's always something of curiosity for me, seeing Venezuelan maps, but that's it.
Reclamación.
Because of Bolivar and Guyana, and then there's, of course, the English colonial, sort of reputation preceding us, as always. But that's fantastic. So did you get down into Brazil, into Rondônia and those places up in the sort of north there?
We did cross into Brazil. Mm-hmm. We stayed mostly near La Linha, mm-hmm. which is what it's called commonly. It's Pacaraima is the name of it. So it's just a little town nearby. But it was enough of a introduction to Brazilian culture and the language. It was a lot of fun.
This is great travel. So mm-hmm. so now you left Venezuela for Colombia in 2012.
Yes.
So when you were finishing up in Venezuela, this was the height of Chavismo.
We moved to Bogota, and less than a year later, Chavez died.
Mm-hmm.
So it was his last year.
Yeah.
So and he was elected in 1999, came to power in 2000. So it had been many years of living with Chavez.
Well, it must have been an interesting time, especially mm-hmm. as an American citizen. They must have, the red shirts
yes.
might have picked on you a little bit.
There were interesting moments.
Yeah.
Although when I moved to Venezuela, Venezuelans were rather apolitical. They didn't really care where I was from.
Yeah.
They loved foreigners, so it was interesting to them that I was living in the country. It was later that I got a little bit of...
Because it was a development, wasn't it? I mean, it was over time, and the saber rattling that would go on, and then suddenly, you are the figure, mm-hmm. this nationalist pride. Yes. Jail time. we can't miss this.
Yes.
Jail time. I know my listeners are going, why hasn't he asked her about the jail time? You spent time in jail in Venezuela.
I did. My first experience with jail in Venezuela was my husband and I had just gotten home from our honeymoon.
Oh, man.
And we were still, on some kind of honeymoon clouds, some kind of love cloud. And the police arrive at our apartment. And took my husband away.
It took them away. And where was this in Venezuela?
This was a town called La Victoria.
Uh-huh.
So it's not far from Caracas. No. And so they came and they took him away. And he was in jail for a week.
And what can I ask what he was being held for?
For drug running. No. No, he's a very, very, very proper person. He's never done anything wrong. But, that's a very complicated story. Actually, I don't know if I give you a short... Yeah. He was arrested for...
For being him.
No. For committing armed robbery and homicide with the car. That our car was involved in armed robbery and homicide.
So
they had a date. They had a part of the country that our car was used in this armed robbery and homicide. Yeah. The only thing is that at that date, we were not anywhere near there. This is in Maracaibo that they were saying we did this. We were very far away, hours away, and we had proof.
Mm.
But they didn't care that there was proof. So what it turned out in the end is that our car had been cloned.
Yeah. Okay.
So somebody had taken the same little car, Chevette, and had the same serial number put in somehow, the same license plate, same color and everything. And it took a very long time for that to get worked out. It turned out I had three clones altogether.
Three clones. And then you ended up in jail.
Well, that was years later.
Oh, it wasn't the same time.
No,
it didn't hold you for fear that you're going to flee the country.
No. Okay. Though I was there every day with my husband to bring him food and everything. Of course, he wasn't locked in the cell.
Okay.
He was in the officer's quarters and things like that. He didn't get processed.
No.
He didn't get fingerprints.
He was just sort of in a holding.
Yeah, but for a week.
Yeah,
and it is a South American jail.
I can imagine. I'm now picturing you going in with a loaf of bread, but with a hammer hidden in it, Charlie Chaplin.
Almost, yeah.
All right. So now tell me about your experience as well, because this is a truly South American experience.
This is very South American. Well, when we were living years later, we were living in Trujillo state in Mérida. So that's about, 7 hours away from Caracas by car. And... we were there building places of worship with our teaching work that we do. And we went and we took the bus going towards Caracas one night, because often people travel at night, I guess, to avoid the traffic and everything. So then around midnight, the bus was stopped. I was sleeping. I woke up to the sound of shots, many shots, machine gun type shots. And I said, what's going on? Well, it turns out that there were people on the bus that ran off the bus when the bus was stopped and the guards came in to check paperwork. And so the guards started shooting. There was this like, shootout thing. And these men escaped into the sugar plantations around there. So then they had everybody get off the bus.
Yeah.
Checked everybody's suitcases. There were two suitcases that were unclaimed, and you know what they were filled with. So it was 80 kilos of different kinds of drugs, mostly cocaine.
Wow.
So obviously, when something like that happens in South America, everybody goes to jail. So we all went to jail, including the bus. So, and we were there, it was only overnight.
Yeah.
So in the morning before lunchtime, they let us go, but everybody had to stay there and, go through the whole process of giving our testimonies, which mine was really short because I had been asleep.
Yeah. So. One night in jail. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
No,
I wouldn't want to go.
It was not pleasant.
And how is that waking up to, you know, the soldiers firing guns and stuff? I have my story from Ecuador. Or is it being woken up with basically a young conscript waking me up with pushing a gun muzzle at my head.
Oh, well, that's exciting. And I haven't gone through that.
Then I noticed he had the safety off as well. And I was like, you know, I actually flipped out.
Uh-huh.
Because I now know what I do in those situations. Yeah. I flipped out. I said, how dare he do that? But I didn't get put in jail for anything. What a story. But it's, you're still here in the continent despite everything. Despite your husband being jailed for a week, despite you being held for a night.
Yeah. Well, my husband was also kidnapped. Was also another test.
This is Venezuela as well.
And that was in Venezuela. Yes, all the exciting things happened to me in Venezuela.
Because when security has really dipped, I mean, it's a sad situation because it is such a great country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we hear a lot about it, obviously, here in Colombia, being, you know, the sister country to Venezuela. But perhaps out there, you know, we don't hear as much in the mainstream press. The more ridiculous claims being made by President Maduro or, you know, references to President Chavez. I've said before on this show that my hat is off to President Chavez because I'm a journalist. His appearance back on the scene made South America interesting again for the international media.
Yeah.
Because for years I couldn't sell a piece. And then suddenly, you know, there's a man who came up and, you know, took on everybody and made friends with the so-called axis of evil.
Yes.
So, you know, flying off to Belarus and Iran and places like that suddenly made South America interesting. And we could sell pieces from Colombia and Brazil and Bolivia and whenever.
Mm-hmm.
But fascinating stuff. And now you're here in Bogota. You've been here since 2012. Things are going well. I mean, you know, you've got this blog, which we will talk about in the next section of the show. It's flavorsofbogota.com, focusing on travel, but mainly on food and society and life here in Bogota. You're also a contributing writer to the Was Gabo an Irishman book, which has, just been out there and publicized in London.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very happy with this. And, you know, And our final, item on the agenda to chat about in the next session, of course, is the new and, of course, incredibly popular and increasing in popularity Colombian Bloggers Association, which you can find on Facebook. So, you know, you keep yourself busy.
Yes, it's easy to be busy in Bogota.
It is easy to be busy. I mean, if you put yourself out there to work, you can work. I mean,
there's
that's the truth.
Plenty to do, yeah.
This is the truth. And Bogota is an interesting place. It's in a permanent phase of evolution, the city, and certainly your blog details that because you're going through a sort of the culinary side of things, but that's a good litmus test on how people are spending money and how the country's doing.
Definitely.
And so
I think that the fact that we've seen an increase, such a huge increase in restaurants over the past 10 years, but especially just since I've arrived, just in the past 3 years, I've seen a big increase in restaurants and what people are doing. Mm-hmm. That's definitely related to how much people have to spend on restaurants, you know, just your typical Colombian.
I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there is a middle class here willing to go out and, you know, spend money and eat well and spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is, And it does show something, and hopefully the peso doesn't completely crash in the next few weeks, which, you know, or months.
It's always a wild ride in South America.
It's always a wild ride, yes. It's true. It's been so good for so long. Now we will see. We'll see. A lot having to do with the neighboring countries, a lot having to do with the oil prices, and a lot having to do with what's going on in the country with the peace dialogues and the guerrilla attacks, which unfortunately have increased in recent weeks. I have talked about this, and we're not going to focus on this in this show. We're going to keep this lighthearted and food and so on. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Karen Atman of the website flavorsofbogota.com. You can definitely see that's very easy. She's got clips in National Geographic, CNN, Diners Magazine, and so, you know, she's a real personality out there. You know, she's looked for in this subject. So we're very pleased to have someone of this editor and capacity and background on the show. So thank you again. Short break. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling, and we're with Karen Atman here in Bogota in the studio talking about her website and basically her life, really, because we've got the last 20 years. She's been in Latin America, Venezuela, now Colombia. Her husband is a Rolo. He's a Bogotano. But she's, you know, incredibly successful, and she's got this website, flavorsofbogota.com. So we're focusing a bit on food. And we finished off the last section of the show sort of talking about, you know, the rising middle class in Colombia, in Bogota. We're going to talk more about urban areas, really, because, you know, rural Colombia is different. But, you know, you've got the rising middle class, and in the last, you know, let's say, 10 years, I mean, you know, or 5 years, restaurants have started, you know, there's been a real sort of, let's say, a glut of restaurants, you know, really opening up, and interesting ones, too. Mm-hmm. Colombian chefs doing different things, and let's say out there on the internet, in the ether, there's you know, some negative comments about Colombian food, because, of course, they're talking about traditional food. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the sort of, you know, workman's food, stodge. You know, I like a good ajiaco, I like a good cazuela de frijoles, but it's not something I eat every day, or a bandeja paisa. But the restaurants, when we're talking about Bogota, there's some really exciting places. So, I mean, I'm going to just hand it over to you, because you're the expert. So share with us a little bit of your insights.
Well, I agree with what you're saying about sometimes the typical food in a place, it sometimes can be very tasty, but sometimes it's just... it's just not. But I think of, for instance, growing up, I think of my great grandmother, for instance. She was born of Irish immigrants. And I don't want to talk bad about Irish food, but a lot of times the food in the house is going to be boiled cabbage, boiled potatoes, and ham.
Overboiled.
Yes. So sometimes grandmother's food is very good, but sometimes it's a little plain because it's the everyday food. That happens here in Colombia also. There are dishes that are very good, things that you crave all the time. And then there's things that are just, you know, your basic food to get through the day. And I think when we visit a country for a short period of time, we want to experience the flavors and the exciting things that are typical of that country. Mm-hmm. For instance, if I go to Mexico, I don't want to eat in an Italian restaurant. I want Mexican food because I'm there for just a short time. But when you've been living in a place for 20 years, you crave a little bit of everything. Yes, you want to try the typical things, but you also need your Italian restaurants and your French restaurants and other things. Yes. So that's the exciting thing about Bogota. There's a mix of things. You can get just about anything. Now, there's chefs from Europe, chefs from the United States that have come to Bogota. They see how things are booming here, and they want to be a part of that. And that's great, because then here in Bogota, we get what Food & Wine magazine says is the best eclairs in the world, some of the best eclairs in the world. We get great Italian pizza made by Italians. We get great sausages, things that are done by chefs from around the world, which is good. It adds to the scene here. Of course, the most exciting thing that's happening here is what the Colombians themselves are doing. For instance, there's Colombians that have lived in other countries for some time, and they come back with ideas about different restaurants that they can replicate here.
Yeah.
For instance, I don't know if you've been to La Fama.
I have been to La Fama.
Okay.
Whoa.
So it's kind of a funny thing here.
Yeah.
It's two chefs that went around the southern United States looking for the best barbecues and then trying to find a way to produce it here. That's not easy.
No.
Not easy at all. But they came back with a smoker. And they've been really producing what I can say is a really typical American barbecue.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It is good.
I pay every penny's worth
it. Yes, it is worth it. So, of course, that's not typical Colombian food. There are Colombians that are making this food. So I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have the Colombians, the very passionate Colombians who want to bring to life maybe some ingredients that have been lost or some techniques that have been lost in time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about chefs and restaurants that are doing things that sometimes even your typical Colombians don't know about some of these ingredients or don't know how to cook them. So we can think of achiote, arasa, guatila, piaquil. I mean, it's like, wow, what's that?
You know, the great sounding names.
Yeah, they're great. They're very exotic. And these are things that if you go to a supermarket, maybe those ingredients aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you see them and you just pass right over them because you haven't got a clue what to do with them. Or if you do see them, you say, oh, I don't want to cook that. I don't know if you've ever seen cubios.
Yeah, the unattractive sort of purple potatoes. Is that it?
The cubio is the bone-colored kind of spiral root.
Yeah, it tastes of nothing.
It tastes like nothing. And the thing is, if you see it, it kind of, if you look at it just right or just wrong, kind of looks like a strange worm.
Almost a wart.
Yeah, I can think of all sorts of unfavorable things to say about it. If you take it home and you boil it up, then you will definitely be displeased with it because then it turns into this slimy thing that has no taste. So that can be something that's difficult for us to use at home. But then you go to some of these restaurants and they're making wonderful things with cubio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they really take these ingredients and make something that we can't maybe recreate at home. And maybe even the grandmothers don't use them frequently or they just boil them and it's a very basic taste.
It's kind of like a renaissance in these let's say traditional products, you know, mm-hmm. produce, you know, cubio. I can't remember what's the purple one from the highlands called. I can't even remember.
Yeah,
I think you see it a lot down near to Popayan in that market in Silvia, mm-hmm. and stuff. Every shade of purple for this type of potato.
Well, the thing is that there's dozens of different kinds of potatoes here in Colombia, most of which we don't see in your typical supermarket, which is what's exciting about these chefs. So there's chefs, like high-end chefs like Leonora Espinosa from Leo Cocina y Cava. She takes these ingredients, and sometimes she uses traditional techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she doesn't. She definitely has a gourmet approach to it all. But she does exciting things. So it's not surprising that she's made the list of Latin America's 50 best restaurants for some time now. Also, Juan Manuel Barrientos from El Cielo, he's taking some of those ingredients, doing really interesting things, not with Colombian techniques, but he's really, you know, challenging our perceptions about food. That's exciting. It's some part of the scene here. And then also there's chefs and restaurant owners that are working directly with farmers, bringing the freshest ingredients and ingredients that we don't necessarily have access to. So like Luz Beatriz from Abasto Restaurant. Mm-hmm. She just opened one in Quinta Camacho. Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting menu with a lot of different options. So you can get to know these traditional Colombian ingredients, sometimes with traditional techniques that are very tasty. And she does wonderful things with cubio, by the way.
Okay. Well, I go to Abasto quite a lot because the new one is
the
quite close
to me. The new
one
is very close.
So I have no reason now to go to Usaquén anymore. So
no,
the city, because it's very close to me. The most important thing that she does for me is the crumble. It's one of the things I miss. And now I've got this sort of like red fruit and apple crumble.
That is so good.
My
wonderful.
Mom used to make that. So it's, for me, it's this comfort food.
Yeah, she has an interesting mix of Colombian ingredients and techniques, but then also with you know, some of her favorite international recipes.
Actually, the empanadas there are really
very good.
Isn't there one with the, what's that?
Chontaduro.
Chontaduro.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
But you wouldn't imagine this. Sort of,
and cubio sauce on it.
Oh, right. That's cubio sauce. Yeah. Okay, so that's what I eat.
Yes.
I wouldn't even know.
But things that you really, it's hard to know what to do with those ingredients at home.
So I took the food critic and travel writer A.A. Gill to Abasto when he came.
Okay.
You see, that was the thing he pointed out.
Yes.
But that was, I didn't tell anyone at Abasto who he was either. So
that's
wise. And they did it. They did it well.
Yeah,
they did it well. They didn't embarrass us.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's interesting because, you know, you talked about Leo Espinosa, and she's been on Latin American TV as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's from the coast, right? She's from the Caribbean
coast. She is. And the interesting thing is that these chefs and restaurant owners, they're not just trying to be famous mm-hmm. or to have a business. I mean, they have a real passion mm-hmm. behind it. Like, she has her foundation for women. She's very, very much involved in helping people in these poor areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful. You know, it's
there's a lot of that, isn't there? A sort of altruistic mm-hmm. sort of sense behind it. I've been to her restaurant a few times. I was taken there once, and I remember I had that day I didn't want fish, and mm-hmm. a lot of it's seafood. And so I had this immense pork chop, but it had been crusted in the fat bottom ants from San Gil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It was really good.
Yeah, okay.
It was really good. I was just like, it was just one of those days I couldn't. I just, you know, sometimes a non-seafood day today.
Sure. And
so it was a traditional.
So it was a good day
thing.
To have ants.
Yeah. So it was ants on a pork chop.
Yes, very traditional.
It was really
yes.
good. And then another one I'd like to mention, because I've been to his restaurant a few times, and I do take sort of like top end visitors to Bogota to the restaurant, is Tomas from Donostia
yeah.
and Taula, the
yes.
two restaurants alongside one another in the Macarena.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I love there is the as you said, it's taking the traditional recipe but sort of incorporating it into something international. So it was a ravioli in the suero costeño.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so Moorish, but it was so good. It's so good. You know, and again, I took this food critic there. And he really grilled him. He really, and as A.A. left, he said, that guy said nothing wrong.
Wow.
Everything that was appropriate for him to say. He's
mm-hmm.
like, we can take, Italian style stuff, but we're going to use Colombian things, mm-hmm. we'll do this. And of course, I know that he has, I think there's a foundation or something as well in there. And,
yes.
and I have to say, it's one of the sort of like, haute cuisine places in Bogota where I'm always happy to go in because they play The Clash.
Okay.
And I think he's a bit of a punk.
He's the rebel. He's the rebel chef.
Yeah, and that's like my favorite music. So to walk in there and go, God, to hear, that Clash City Rockers on over the background, it's like, awesome. And then Joy Division, there is no restaurant in Bogota that's playing this music. So
that's very true.
So anyway,
it's something different.
You mentioned El Cielo, which is molecular food. So for mm-hmm. those of you who don't know that stuff, it's a kind of foamy,
mm-hmm.
small, but it's about trying everything.
Yeah.
I'm still learning about this. This is something that's still new to me.
Yeah, that's all about the experience, and it's
okay.
to challenge your food perceptions. So that's interesting. It's also, we can see why he would be on the Latin America's 50 Best Restaurants, because he's really doing some creative things here in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have some of the other chefs that are using Colombian ingredients, some of them mixed with a little bit of international mm-hmm. recipes. But we have Eduardo from Minimal, we
mm-hmm.
have Camila from Suburbio, also El Panoptico. Some of those are in the museums.
I haven't been to any of these.
Oh, okay.
Well, Minimal I know has really good desserts.
Okay.
Because I've walked past it. Yeah, again, it's not far from here. You can't really drag me far from my comfort zone.
I'm realizing that, yeah. Well, Suburbio and El Panoptico, they're in museums
uh-huh.
downtown. So
uh-huh.
in the Museum of Modern Art and also the National Museum, you'll find those two restaurants.
Really?
And so they're working with Colombian ingredients, Colombian techniques. A little bit mixed with international.
So I'm considering going to the Mambo this week, actually, for an
check
exhibition.
Check out Suburbio.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Good tip there.
So I find that very exciting, and how they're trying to help in poor communities. They're trying to help, for instance, former guerrilla soldiers to come, to integrate back into regular life by teaching culinary skills,
really?
Bringing them into the kitchens, teaching, encouraging, going into the neighborhoods and interacting with them so that they can see, well, here's another option.
So if I went to Suburbio in the Mambo, there would be... let's say reinsertados in the kitchen.
Well, you can ask. I don't know who's working in the kitchen right at this moment, but yes, they are working
wow.
and they're quite passionate about that. So that's
that'll make for an interesting article.
Yes, it is definitely interesting. And then there's also chefs that are very creative, like Alejandro Cuellar. He works, he has a website, it's Cinco Sentidos, but he works a lot with edible flowers, very creative. His, everything he does is an artwork, really, okay. on a plate. And so that's interesting. I went up with him once to his farm outside of Bogota. It's this family estate kind of thing. And so it was interesting to visit the grandmother's house and then go out and have a little tour around the farm and eat our way through the farm, it's all the flowers.
Like rabbits, you know. but you know, what,
those flowers.
Okay, but it's, I mean, okay. I mean, you have to know what are edible flowers. I mean, that's a science.
And listening to him, I'm not going to say too much.
Okay.
Because maybe you want to use this for another right. episode here. But how he came to have that love for edible flowers mm-hmm. and how he's developed it and the creations that he does is mm-hmm. just marvelous.
So we can find that in Cinco Sentidos.
Yes.
Cinco Sentidos. And on also WordPress. There's an article mm-hmm. on your website as well about this too.
Yes.
Now, so what would you say about the, you know, Colombia is known for its coffee and everything. I know you've written a piece about coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to, you know, the coffee culture, obviously ingrained in society, but the actual sort of gourmet coffee culture is actually relatively new here. Because before, it was, I would just say what you had was truck driver coffee, you know, mm-hmm. in a thermos with panela in it. Mm-hmm. Overly sweetened, in you know, in a thimble,
yes.
which not uncommon to see people shooting it like an aguardiente.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're seeing smaller independent coffee houses opening up and actually giving the true Colombian coffee experience. I mean, this is something we need to explore more.
Definitely, and I think that we're going to see a lot more of these coffee houses opening up. Many of them are. First of all, they're very cozy, and
okay.
they just feel great. And so often they're filled with expats because mm-hmm. as expats, we're looking for a good coffee shop all
yeah.
the time. One thing that we don't realize sometimes until we come to Colombia is that there's different regions that mm-hmm. produce different kinds of coffee. And Colombia produces coffee all around the country under very different conditions.
Yeah.
In high mountains and the lower mountains and hot areas, cold areas, that all produces different kinds of coffee. And so that in itself is an interesting journey
yeah.
through coffee that we journey around the country. So you can go to these little coffee houses. You can choose the region that you want to have a coffee from, and then you choose the method. This is something that's really an international thing that they've mm-hmm. brought here with these different coffee methods like the Chemex, the dripper, different things. Of course, you can get like a French press. The siphon is probably one of the most exciting ones because it involves fire. Anything
yeah.
that has fire in it is good.
It looks like a chemistry set.
Yes, it does. And so it's very exciting when they light the flame and then the coffee's the water bubbles up and then the coffee comes down slowly. So these things are things we can experience here. Each one of those methods produces a different taste perception in us. So there's very exciting places that are doing wonderful things with these methods and with these regional coffees.
And could you share a few with us? Off the top of my head, I think of Cafe Rec, which is on like sort of Calle 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
just up the hill from the back of the Presidencia and in the Candelaria. And
mm-hmm.
it's a great place. They have jazz at night and other things
mm-hmm.
and stuff, but they do coffee tasting. You
yes.
can go as one person and you
mm-hmm.
can do your own cata de café,
yeah.
which I think is so important, you know, because you might just be traveling solo.
Mm-hmm.
So you might just, you know,
want your own experience.
Your own
yeah.
experience. But that's one I can think of. And near to here, the, you know, the Café Culture,
mm-hmm.
which is great too.
Yes.
It's like a container that does coffee. And there's mm-hmm. another one around the back of the Parque 93. So,
Azar,
yeah,
okay.
which does it, which
yeah, And the owner of Azar is very knowledgeable, Tyler. He's travels constantly all around Colombia. He's always looking for the very best coffees. So he's got an interesting story about coffee also. And downtown, Café San Alberto is in the
yeah.
Gold Museum. So that's something that's convenient because it's right there. And they have, for instance, cold coffee, but it's this kind of like dripper method. It's also something that looks like kind of like a chemistry set, although no fire involved. But it just very slow drips coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about something that drips through the filter for like 16 hours
wow.
of drip, drip, drip. And what is produced is like a very it's a cold coffee that's almost it feels like a liquor. It's not fermented, but it it has a body to it. Mm. Very nice with an ice cube in it, drunk cold in small quantities.
It's not something you order and wait 16 hours for.
No, so that's something, that it's not going to be made right in front of you. But it's very interesting, as well as all the other coffee methods that, that we've mentioned. And let's see. Well, we've gone through quite a bit of this cafe
ones,
bourbon. They're roasting their coffee themselves. That's in Chapinero also.
Yeah.
E&D Cafe, Amor Perfecto.
Yeah, very good. Well, this is good. Places. There's some options for you out there. So you're thinking of coming to Colombia. You know, it's not like it was before. It's not really when you just reheated Greca.
Yes.
Oh, man. It used to make me shudder when you go into a hostel and as a backpacker. And it's like, oh, great. That's been there for 3 days. It's now socially acceptable to be a coffee snob once again in Colombia. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, we've covered very well now the sort of food and culinary side here in Colombia, unless there's something else that you want to mention.
Oh, I could talk for hours, but I think we covered the.
I think we'll just refer people back to your website, flavorsofbogota.com. You can find almost anything up there. Now, I thought we'd finish off. We've got 5 minutes left. We'll finish off this fascinating chat that we're having. As I always ask people to be informed and interesting and interested, and you clearly, ticked all of those boxes. So thank you for that. You have been behind setting up the Colombian Bloggers Association. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Colombian Bloggers Association, the idea was actually born during a book signing of a book that maybe you've heard of. It was Gabo and Irishman.
I think I've heard of it. Yeah,
possibly.
It's available on Amazon.
So there we were, a number of expat bloggers talking. We said, oh, well, we have to meet up again. This is great to get together and talk. Well, you know how hard it is to meet up again in Bogota with expats because we all travel so much. The city is immense. We live in very diverse areas. Yeah. It just can get complicated to meet up. So I just thought that it would be great if we could all meet up where we all are anyway, which is in the virtual world.
I think that's perfect.
So we don't have to have any meetings in person necessarily. No, but a lot of personal meetings are coming out of that because then we're getting together on Facebook, sharing what we're doing. We're also getting interested in what the other bloggers are doing. We're liking it, sharing, promoting, commenting. So it's creating a very nice scene. It's also getting us together physically because then we say, oh, we have to get together and talk about, you know, different subjects. So it's something that's positive for us as expat bloggers because it is for bloggers that are blogging in English. They don't have to be from a certain country, but it does have to be English. And also, it's an interesting opportunity on this Facebook group page for people to visit that maybe are thinking of coming to visit Colombia or that live here. They can visit the page and get an overall idea. It's like a window into Colombia right there from all of our different posts that we put on the page.
So it's not going to have its own set page website. It'll just be the Facebook platform there.
For right now, it's the Facebook platform. From there, we're sharing what we're doing, and well, we'll see where it grows from there.
How many people were we? Well, because, you know, I've liked it. I'm there. You'd say, how many people are on it as of this week?
Well, there are about 20 expat bloggers that are blogging in English. Almost all of them have joined up. So it's
this is a
very
good
exciting.
Thing.
This is a good thing. It is very, very good. Getting us together is always a good thing.
Yeah, and to try and get us all to sit down together physically is just impossible.
Everybody's traveling all around the country, all around the world.
Yeah, babies.
babies, books, vlogs.
You know, we're busy people, despite everything.
We are busy people.
Writing may pay less and less as we go on.
Which is why we're busier and busier.
I was telling someone the other day, if I don't work, you know, I don't earn. So therefore, you've got to be committed and, you know, have this discipline. Fascinating. Well, you know, so therefore, if you are interested coming to Colombia and you want to see, you know, some of the more, let's say, you know, some unique, blog sites out there, blogs about Colombia, check out the Colombian Bloggers Association on Facebook and you'll be linked into, I'm sure, various people who I've interviewed on this show, because I occasionally get bloggers on and so forth. And I think you'll get people who are, you know, writing pieces that are better investigated, better written, and that go beneath the surface of, like, oh, you know, it's beautiful fruit, or,
yes,
or you must go to Monserrate. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be something that's, let's say, a little bit more profound.
Yes.
I certainly say that for flavors of Bogota. So it's not because, you know, sometimes you just get, there's a lot of fluff out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the best place in the world. Mm-hmm. This is the best. But no, let's take it realistically.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just take this moment to say thank you so much for coming on Columbia Calling.
Well, it has been a pleasure to join the vast community of people that have been interviewed by you.
I can't believe we waited until episode 105. I feel a bit embarrassed.
Oh, no, well.
But it's been a pleasure to have you on here. And you speak very well, and very well of Venezuela. Your experience is that despite not always being the most positive, you're still here with a smile on your face, and you're talking about edible flowers and coffee. That's pretty interesting to say. So please check out her website, Karen Atman. That's Flavors of Bogota, spelled in the American way, flavorsofbogota.com. Very good, very informed. And yeah, of course, if you want to get in touch and want to suggest anyone to be interviewed, please get in touch. That's columbiacalling@gmail.com. We've got our own website, columbiacallingradio.com, and of course we're on Facebook, Columbia Calling, Twitter, or Columbia Calling, and we'll be promoting everything. And, you know, it's all about getting people on who are doing things, you know, doing things here in Colombia and helping this country, you know, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, you know, pretentious enough to say that we are making a difference, but it's about spreading the news.
Mm-hmm.
Not only good news, but also the real news about that people might not hear out there in the mainstream press. So from me, goodbye. Thank you, Karen Atman.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
This has been Columbia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show.